Our final presenter for this afternoon is Jennifer Antonito. Jennifer is a PhD candidate in public health at Florida International University. She's studying associations between neurocognitive impairment, adherence to antiretroviral treatment among HIV-positive adults who use alcohol. She is presently an instructor in public health at Florida International University. Formerly, she was an education director at the University of Miami, pediatric infectious diseases, and an education director at the American Foundation for AIDS Research, and a senior public health educator for the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. Her talk this afternoon is entitled Relationships Between Information, Motivation, and Behavioral Variables and Neurological Functioning Among HIV-Positive Adults Who Use Alcohol. Jennifer.
Thank you. I'd like to... Everyone was taller. Acknowledge my faculty who are here, Dr. Jesse DeVue, Dr. Robert Mallow, who are PIs on this study. So you can ask them the questions. I have nothing to disclose. The primary aims were to determine whether there was an association between neurological functioning and demographic characteristics and social contextual variables with the outcomes of sex risk, condom use skills, and alcohol use. We also aim to determine if the relationship between the independent and dependent variables operated through information about HIV, STD risk, and the motivation to use condoms as per the IMB model. So this is sort of a heuristic of the concept. The IMB model, Fisher and Fisher's IMB model, is very clearly very parsimonious and intuitive to use when you're looking at risk, sex risk, and other types of risk for any particular disease or other outcome. And it has been applied by Drs. Mallow and DeVue to multiple different populations, youth in Haiti, seriously mentally ill, substance abusing adults, among many others. Fisher and Fisher, in their examinations of models for AIDS risk reduction, found that interventions that are broader in scope and that attempt to influence AIDS risk reduction, information, motivation, and behavioral skills are the ones that appear to produce the greatest behavior change. We're looking specifically at neurocognitive impairment and how that affects a person's ability to take in the information about behavior change and also to apply that information. And it's important to understand this as it's evolving into sort of a clear problem in this population. Estimated 2 to 5% of HIV positive may develop HIV-associated dementia, up to 37% suffer less severe impairment. The range of neurocognitive impairments are abbreviated as HIV-associated neurocognitive disorder, or HAND, and they range from mild neurocognitive disorder, MND, to HIV-associated dementia, HAD. We can't tell from this particular sample, or this particular analysis, what's contributing the most to the neuro impairment, whether it's drug, alcohol use, exposure to the virus itself, exposure to any toxicity of treatments. All right. This was a cross-sectional analysis of baseline of a parent study funded by NIAAA, PIs Dr. Robert Mallow and Dr. Jesse DeVue. It's a longitudinal randomized controlled trial of an evidence-based intervention called the Adapted Holistic Health and Recovery Program. The participants in this particular analysis, 250 HIV-positive adults who use alcohol, mostly minority, education varied, very few employed, and mostly heterosexual, reported heterosexual. The outcome measures we're looking at specifically, this is a structural equation model using latent variables, so I'll explain which are latent and which aren't. Condom use behavioral skills is a direct skill performance measure, on a model, so it's determining how effective a person can actually put on the condom. Sex risk behaviors is a latent variable measured by three items from the risk behavior assessment and from a timeline follow back. We were talking about how far back you can go, and obviously that's a challenge. This is over a 90-day period, and it has been it's been stated in some literature that 90 days is a safe period of time to go back, but obviously it can't be entirely sure. And recent alcohol use is also a latent variable using the timeline follow back measured by total number of days using alcohol in the past 3 months and the total number of drinks consumed in the past 3 months, which you also had addressed. Wait, where there you are. So the neurocognitive measures were the color trails test 1 and 2. It's a test of visual attention, graphomotor sequencing, and effortful executive processing abilities. So there are two levels of it. It's considered a culture fair adaptation of the trail making test because it's not verbal. The score is a timed measure of completion. The mean for the first test is about 28 seconds for men and women, and the second test is about 70 seconds for men and women. This is just a photograph, I took my phone, of the first one. This is the practice one, so you can kind of see they just go from 1, 2, 3, 4, alternating colors. The second one is more complicated. Alternate colors on your own, so it's more challenging. And that's why the time is much more, it takes longer. So the IMB variables were measured by, the knowledge was a single item, 28 items from the STD knowledge questionnaire. Pro-social peer attitudes is a latent variable, 3 parcels from the sexual risk scale norms, the norm section of the sexual risk scale, and condom use self-efficacy is also 3 parcels, is a latent variable. And then our social contextual measures, social support is latent, 3 subfactors, instrumental support, illness-specific support, and affectionate support. Life stress is latent, also with 3 parcels from the Life Event Survey. Let's see. So it's a full model, including the measurement model. The initial confirmatory and hypothesis predictive analyses are performed using EQS 6.1. Latent variable analysis, we can evaluate a hypothesized model with correlated non-experimental data. Goodness of fit, we used maximum likelihood chi-square. We aim for non-significance in this, comparative fit index. We look for 0.95 or greater, if that's most desirable for the fit of the model. And then the RMSEA. Sorry, let me go back here for a second. And then the Lagrange multiplier test will give us additional possible changes to make to the model for better fit. Let's see what else. All right, so this is mostly our factor loadings. Everything in the factor loadings were all significant. So what this tells us is in the multiple latent variables, the power of each measurement to provide the information about that construct. So all of these provide us with to tell us how powerful each of those measurements are. Let me just see. Sorry, I'm looking. I think what's really most important on this is that if you look at the means of the color trails test for both 1 and 2, you'll see that the average time for each one of these is much higher than what I mentioned were the norms for these tests. So this was a neurocognitively impaired group. These are some more of the factor loadings. It's an NA if it's a single item measurement. And these are the rest of them. All right, these are correlations among the model constructs. I highlighted I hope you can see this okay. It's kind of small, I apologize for that. I highlighted the significant correlations that are here. These are significant at P less than 0.05, less than 0.01, and less than 0.001. The 3 stars is 001. Neurological impairment was more likely among older participants, associated with lower knowledge scores, poor condom skills. Females reported more social support. Older participants reported both worse condom skills and fewer risky sex behaviors. Greater life stress was associated with less social support, as we would imagine, better condom skills and more risky sex behaviors. Social support and higher knowledge scores associated with better condom skills. This is the information that goes into the model, so this is what was observed. The fit indices for the model were very good. Maximum likelihood chi-square was very high. CFI was also adequate. The modifications before trimming, there were regression paths suggested by the Lagrange multiplier test to include regression paths between age and risky sex behavior, stress and risky sex behavior, and social support and condom skills. After trimming the model, this is taking away variables that are non-significant. The fit indices didn't change very much. They were still very good. One modification, when you're doing structural equation modeling, everything has to be very logical, of course. I'm not going to be able to see your timing thing, by the way. I'm too short. Okay, thanks. is that any changes you make have to be logical. One modification was trading sex for money and trading sex for drugs, which were two of the indices for sex risk. And it was considered theoretically sound modification to make. This is the final model. Greater neurological impairment negatively predicted both the knowledge and condom skills scores. This was probably the most profound outcome from the study, leading us to understand that we should be taking a closer look at neurological functioning particularly when we're doing interventions. Higher knowledge score and greater condom self-efficacy predicted better condom skills. IMB constructs did not directly predict any of the risky sex behaviors. Pro-social peer attitudes were associated with less recent alcohol use. They're sort of expected. Possible that these are concurrent. A lot of the social groups, particularly for peer attitudes and less recent alcohol use, when you're in the same community of people who are using drugs or alcohol, might not be the most health-minded people. So this would be expected. Based on the suggestions from the Lagrange multiplier test, additional regression paths I mentioned were also added to this. So the limitations, this is cross-sectional, so we don't know exactly, there's nothing temporal about it, cannot be generalized beyond this particular group. These were gathered from 13 CBOs in Miami. It can be biased, possibly, based on self-report, intentionally or unintentionally, either due to the sensitive nature or because of inaccurate recall. We are talking about an impaired group. I think the hardest part of the whole thing is trying to define motivation as a construct. Obviously, we very indirectly measured that, and it wasn't a direct measurement of motivation. So it's not a perfect application of this model. Some of the implications are that it's informative in guiding the development and delivery of risk reduction interventions. I think that more study needs to take place in neurological impairment. Important to consider factors such as this, I think, among other factors. I also think that it's important to take a look at what contributes to the neurological impairment, and so further study needs to go into that in terms of whether it's the drug use, whether it's the exposure to toxicity or the virus itself. And multiple references, you can get in touch if you'd like them. And I think I already acknowledged our team. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before we take questions, I just want to say again thank you to all of our presenters for some great talks this afternoon. If you give them a round of applause. And we have time for questions. Are there any questions? If you please let us know if it's to a specific individual or talk or to the whole panel. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure. I'm not at all sure why. I mean, we now have IRB approval, but yes. But I don't know why it took so long. I do know UCSF is notorious about, you know, being very picky about IRB, but I don't know what the hurdles were. I know that one thing that we went back, well, Dr. Eversley went back and forth with the IRB group about had nothing to my mind to do with human subjects, but had to do with their feeling that it was too ambitious. And that's why we're just testing feasibility and acceptability. She had originally intended to do some sort of preliminary analysis of efficacy, and they felt like, no, just focus on feasibility and acceptability. So I know they went back and forth on that for quite a bit, but I don't know why it took that long beyond that.
Other questions? Okay. Here we go. You know, I just want to thank you all for your attendance today, this afternoon, and just a reminder for those who might have come in later that, of course, you're all invited to the HIV/AIDS social on Tuesday evening for the section. It's at 7 p.m. at Blue Restaurant, which is at 4th and Market. So it'll be off-site. We have the information at our booth down at the exhibit hall as well. Otherwise, feel free to grab our presenter if you have a question or send them an email. Thank you again for your attendance. I appreciate it. Have a good day.